Picture your daily routine. Grabbing coffee, checking your phone, heading to work. These mundane acts rest on an invisible foundation, a social contract binding citizens, businesses, and governments in mutual obligation. For decades after World War II, this contract hummed along beautifully. Workers earned living wages, corporations paid taxes, governments built infrastructure. Then something fractured. Roads crumble while tech giants hoard billions offshore. Public schools struggle while corporate profits hit record highs. The rage defining our current decade isn't random chaos. It's the sound of a broken contract demanding repair. The social contract has always evolved during massive upheavals. The Industrial Revolution triggered one such rewriting. Early factory life was hellish. Children worked 16-hour shifts, Manchester workers lived just 17 years on average, and Dickens documented misery in novels that shocked Victorian readers. This angles pause saw technology advance rapidly while ordinary people suffered tremendously. Eventually, societies responded with innovations we now take for granted: minimum wages, public education, antitrust laws, worker pensions. These weren't gifts from benevolent elites, but hard-won reforms that spread industrialization's benefits beyond factory owners. We're living through another angles pause, but for the digital age. The equilibrium established during industrialization has collapsed as technology, globalization, and climate crisis fundamentally alter power relationships. Tech giants employ more people than many nations' entire populations. The gig economy creates workers outside traditional protections. Automation threatens millions of jobs. Meanwhile, our social contracts haven't been updated to address these seismic shifts, creating the perfect conditions for the rage consuming our politics. Since the 1970s, shareholder capitalism has dominated boardrooms. Milton Friedman declared that corporations exist solely to maximize shareholder profits, relegating workers, communities, and the environment to secondary concerns. The consequences are stark. Had minimum wage kept pace with productivity since 1960, it would exceed $24 today. Instead, it remains frozen at $7.25, creating the largest wealth gap since the Great Depression. The perverse incentives trap even well-intentioned executives. When Walmart's CEO called for raising minimum wage, he explained that doing so unilaterally would trigger Wall Street punishment. But if Congress mandated it universally, Walmart would benefit from customers with more spending power without competitive disadvantage. The airline industry exemplifies this dysfunction. In the decade after 2008, America's largest airlines spent 96% of their free cash flow on buybacks, enriching executives and shareholders. When COVID-19 hit, these same companies needed $50 billion in taxpayer bailouts. Evidence suggests stakeholder capitalism, balancing profit with responsibility to employees, customers, and communities, produces better long-term returns. Companies with strong environmental, social, and governance practices outperform peers by up to 4.8% annually. Yet, without concrete metrics and realigned incentives, stakeholder capitalism remains more aspiration than reality. Hurricane Maria's 2017 devastation of Puerto Rico exposed catastrophic government failure. Despite 150-mile-per-hour winds leaving 1.9 million Americans without water, federal response was disastrously slow. Food and equipment took 4 days to arrive. Senior officials waited 5 days to visit. The president didn't attend response meetings until day six. The death toll reached 2,975, possibly as high as 8,000, with most deaths from inadequate healthcare, electricity, and water access after the storm. Meanwhile, World Central Kitchen, a chef-led nonprofit, transformed San Juan's arena into an operation producing 146,000 meals daily across 16 kitchens. Volunteers with kitchen equipment outperformed the government that once ran the planet's most effective logistics network. Today, private actors increasingly set rules on privacy, sustainability, and workers' rights where government seems unable to act. Amazon raised wages to $15 in response to direct petitions, while the federal minimum wage remained frozen. The 2010 Citizens United decision dramatically increased corporate political power by allowing unlimited, independent political spending. Outside spending jumped from $680 million in the five cycles before the ruling to $4.4 billion in the five cycles after. Just 225,000 people, less than 0.1% of American adults, contributed $3.1 billion in 2018, representing 55% of all campaign spending. When corporations can purchase policy outcomes, government stops serving citizens and starts serving donors. The 1936-37 GM sit-down strike in Flint, Michigan, launched the golden age of American workers. Despite police violence, factory occupations won 300% wage increases and explosive UAW growth, from 30,000 to 500,000 members. Within a decade, union membership nationwide tripled to nearly one-third of workers. That power has evaporated. Union membership crashed from 35% in 1954 to just 10.3% today, only 6% in private sector jobs. Workers now receive less than 6 cents of every dollar they earn for employers, half what they received at the Cold War's end. Traditional organizing tactics fail with today's decentralized workforce. Brian Dalber, an adjunct professor earning under $35,000, joined Rideshare Drivers United after driving for Uber between teaching gigs. Using Facebook ads targeting rideshare drivers, the group mobilized thousands for a nationwide strike days before Uber's IPO, dropping its share price over 7%, the worst IPO since 1975. Modern collective action targets publicity and investor confidence rather than production. The gig economy demands new solutions. Compel benefits, strengthen safety nets, ban gig work, or create flexible benefit models. Each carries trade-offs, but inaction guarantees continued exploitation. When you buy a leather belt online after clicking a Google ad, the seller pays substantial taxes, and you pay income tax. But Google, despite its trillion-dollar valuation, pays just 0.7% through complex mechanisms shifting profits to Ireland, the Netherlands, and Bermuda. This isn't a loophole, but a wormhole in the global economy, eroding social contracts worldwide. The double Irish with Dutch sandwich routes money through multiple countries to minimize taxes. These practices cost governments over $500 billion annually. Corporate taxes fell from 32% of U.S. federal revenue in 1952 to less than 7% in 2019, while individual burden rose from 52% to 86%. Since 1980, global tax competition drove average corporate rates from 40.4% to 24.2%. Tech giants enjoy stable democracies, educated workforces, reliable infrastructure, functioning legal systems, without paying their fair share. The solution requires treating multinationals as single entities for tax purposes, allowing countries to tax based on actual economic activity and automatically sharing cross-border banking information. We need a global financial register, tracking ownership of financial securities worldwide, enabling tax authorities to verify reporting and combat hidden wealth. The 2020s will determine whether we rebuild a social contract serving the many or descend into deeper inequality and rage. Certain trends are inevitable. 2.5 billion more urban dwellers by 2050, 200 million climate migrants, AI reshaping work, but our responses remain our choice. Without reform, inequality drives violent unrest, pushing unstable nations toward China's model of digital authoritarianism. Mass surveillance meets AI-powered social control. Democracies can compete by implementing smart technology regulation, ensuring upward mobility through education, and investing massively in clean energy. The path forward requires interlocking reforms, stakeholder capitalism replacing shareholder primacy, international tax reform ending profit shifting, expanded safety nets including universal basic income pilots, and carbon pricing accelerating clean energy transition. Each reform strengthens the others, creating momentum. The choice is stark. Continue letting corporations extract wealth while dodging taxes, governments serve donors over citizens, and workers lose bargaining power, guaranteeing rage and democratic collapse. Or recognize the social contract needs constant renewal. The invisible foundation supporting your life is crumbling. Rebuilding it isn't idealistic, it's survival. The question isn't whether we'll rewrite the social contract for the digital age, but whether we'll act before rage consumes the possibility of reform.